You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
You may be seated. I assume it was appropriate for me to say that. I was waiting. I've absolutely loved this time with you guys. You maybe don't know, because you don't visit a lot of churches, I get to a pile of churches. We have over 4,000 pastors on our mailing list. And so I spend a considerable portion of my time talking with and praying with and crying with pastors and listening to the stories. And then I get in a good many churches to preach, and I get a chance to observe, to see what's going on. And what you have here is very special. You sense it the first time you walk in with the people that you meet. The kindness, the awareness of each other, and more than that, the awareness of Jesus. And that's been true at the Cathedral Church for years and years. You've had your times. You're human like everybody else. But God has had his hand on this church, and you ought to consider yourself very fortunate for being a part of it. Thank you for inviting me. You know, the trouble with being a Christian, if you've been one for very long, is that the realities and the verities of the Christian faith can become a cliche. Jesus loves me, this I know, is of course true. That's God's job description. But until you have been in the place where there was nothing to love, and you were empty of everything you could offer, until you come to the place where you could be described as incredibly unlovable, you don't get it, and it can become a cliche. Brennan Manning has a great story from a play by a man by the name of Gideon, who was PO'd at God, shook his fist at him and moved to the desert and set up a tent and sat there and sulked. And God came and overwhelmed Gideon with his love. And Gideon became giddy, started dancing in front of his tent, looked up at the sky, and he said, "Hey, God, tell me you love me." And God says, "Gideon, I love you." Then he danced some more, and he said, "God, tell me again you love me." And God says, "Gideon, I love you." And then Gideon finally, after some more dancing, looks up at the sky and says, "God, why do you love me?" And there's dead silence. And God says, "I don't know. There's something unreasonable about my love." Until you've experienced the unreasonableness of his love to you, the fact that God loves can become a cliche. Forgiveness is the same way. That's why it's important that you recognize what I taught you yesterday. Sin is the reality with which we all deal, and I told you that you all had a secret that you couldn't share with anybody but God, and you weren't sure you could even do it with him. Until you have been so guilty you couldn't breathe, until you've been so drunk that you can't see, until you've done things that you can't imagine that you've done, forgiveness can become a cliche. That's true with God. God is a sovereign creator, ruler, and sustainer of all that is. But of course, that's what God is. But until you've stood before him and been afraid, it's a cliche. Until you've stood before God and been totally confused, it's a cliche. Until you've stood before God and recognized how big he is and how little you are, it can become a cliche. I'm saying all of this because Lent can do that too. You know, this is what we always do. It's a part of the church year. If we're going to be a part of the church, and the most important thing we can do in our culture is to join a church and be a part of it. If we're here, Lent is something you just simply do as you're a Christian. But it can become a cliche if you're careful. So, I'm here to help. If you want it to be a cliche, recognize your loneliness and thank God for it. Let me read you a text. And this is the text that got me thinking about what I was going to talk to you about. It's from the first chapter of 1 Timothy. And I'm going to start at the 14th verse. And this is what Paul writes after he gives his own testimony. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is worthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of which I am the foremost. Just as I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever. Amen. So how do you avoid the cliche of Lent? As I said before I interrupted myself, you recognize your loneliness. And you're thankful to God for it. Augustine said, and you've heard it so often, but it's so true. Thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. I was a pastor of a church in the Miami area for over 20 years. When it became clear that I had to leave, I listened to old guys older than me, and there aren't many, who said, when you leave a church, you ought to leave it. Have nothing to do with it. Walk away. And I did. We attended another church in Miami, and we were driving to church on a Sunday morning, and Anna looked at me and said, you look so sad. She's my wife, by the way. You look so sad. What's wrong? I said, I'm so lonely. The relationships I'd lost, the connections, the open hearts were no longer mine, and it hurt. But if I had known what I know today, in preparing for what I was going to say to you, I would have known that there was a loneliness that was deeper than that. And it was the depth of my yearning for God. The 42nd Psalm says it, as the deer pants after the flowing waters, so my heart pants after you. It's built into me. I was asked sometime, because I'm a cynical old preacher, if I was going to leave, and I said, no, I can't, because I'd be so lonely, I wouldn't be able to stand it. Another way, and it's kind of surprising to deal with Lent becoming a cliche, and we're talking about the good news of the Christian faith, is to realize that God is lonely. Now, I have to be careful here, because you can slip into heresy if you're not. God doesn't have needs the way we have needs. But if Jesus was the reflection of God, and everything we learn of God we see in him, in the sixth chapter of John, when the crowds were moving away because of his teaching, he said a statement and asked a question of his disciples that is full of pathos. He said, are you going to leave too? Peter said, no way. Where are we going to go? You got the word of life. And then in Matthew 24, where Jesus has asked three of his closest disciples to go with him as he faces the cross, and he's praying about it, and they go to sleep. And then he says, and it breaks my heart when I read it, he says to them, could you not have stayed awake with me for 1 hour? And so there's a sense in which God is lonely. We love him because he first loved us, and love is often a manifestation of loneliness. And so there is a sense in which we can take the Augustine quote, turn it around a bit, thou hast created us for thyself, and your heart is restless until it finds its rest in us. Whoa. That'll break the cliche of Lent. But then there's one other thing, and we'll have lunch. God is passionate about his loneliness/love. If you know any dirt on C.S. Lewis, please don't tell me. Everybody needs one hero, and he's mine. And I know he's a sinner like everybody else, but I don't want to hear the downside of C.S. Lewis. He said, and I love it, to say that I was searching for God was like saying that a mouse was searching for a cat. I talk to a lot of Christians who are worried about getting better. Quit it. You're going to get better, even if you don't like it. If you're lonely for God, he'll chase you until you're home. Weldon Johnson, and sometimes it's even racist to quote Weldon Johnson in God's Trombones, where God sits on a mountain and he says, I'm lonely, I'm gonna create me a man. You were created for him. Your heart is restless, and his heart is restless until both hearts find their rest in each other. There's a great sermon illustration that somebody shared with me not too long ago about a little boy who made a toy boat. He worked for months on it, getting it just right. Took it down to the ocean, put it in the waves, and it sailed. But to his horror, it started sailing out into the ocean until it disappeared and it was lost. He was devastated. Weeks later, he was walking down the street downtown, and there was a shop, and his boat was in the window of the shop. And he came running in and told the guy over the shop, "That's my boat in your window." And he said, "Son, it may have been your boat, but it's mine now. And if you want it, you got to buy it like everybody else who comes here." He left sad, but determined. He mowed lawns and walked dogs and babysat and saved all of his money until he could go back to the shop and buy his boat. And he got it, and he was walking down the street, and somebody heard him say, "Little boat, I made you. I lost you. I found you. I bought you back, and now you're mine. All mine." Lent is when we remember that God has said the same thing about us. You think about that. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.